This is a recording of ISIS International from the Global NGO Forum on Beijing Plus 15, held in New York in February 2010.
ISIS International, documenting feminist visions, creating critical communications, and strengthening social movements.
Let me begin by saying that I'm often asked, how did a passionate feminist activist like myself end up spending so much time working on trying to change the UN structure? And it's a good... sorry, you can hear me? Sorry. I'm not used to not being loud enough. I want to reflect... I want to actually say that I believe that the world conferences on women are to blame or to credit for the reason that I am so passionate about the need to change and strengthen the UN structures today, because I believe that the world conferences changed and transformed my life, but also transformed our women's movement by opening the door to an arena that has given voice to many, many issues that women were raising all over the world, and given much more space and legitimacy to those demands. But we are in a crisis point right now where that articulation is present, it's on the agenda, we have the documents, but we don't have sufficient resources and mechanisms to implement them. And for me, that's what gendering called the architecture reform is all about. Can we implement this more effectively? Now, why do I care about that? I feel that we are the inheritors of this moment. The World Conferences on Women were created by women. The International Women's Year was initiated because women who were working in the UN before us, even before me and Jan and Patricia and Gertrude, lobbied for, demanded, and got an International Women's Year. They got money dedicated by the UN to Mexico City. So we have an inheritance from the women who went before us, who I think are often forgotten, who laid the groundwork for these world conferences and what they have been able to produce. I mentioned when Jan asked, I said I was part of Mexico City. I actually didn't go to the conference in Mexico City, but I was part of two national processes that I think were very important to International Women's Year in the United States, and I was an activist in the NGO sector in this country. And they are often forgotten, I will mention them. One is the International Tribunal on Crimes Against Women in Brussels that was held in 1976 and organized by women from around the world to expose crimes against women. This is the precursor to much of our NGO work. And the National Women's Conference in Houston in the United States in 1977, which, because of International Women's Year and the Mexico City Conference, was the first and only time in the United States that a national conference was held where we actually came up with a common agenda for the movement to move forward. I mention these two because I think when we talk about the world conferences, we're not just talking about what happened in Mexico, Copenhagen, Nairobi, and Beijing. We're talking about what happened in every country in the world as women gathered because those conferences were happening. That's the movement that the conferences is about. It's an amazing thing. I went to the other world conferences, all three of the others. They're amazing and wonderful things, but they are not the whole conference. The conference is what our movements, what women's organizations have done all over the world in engagement with each other and with governments in preparation for those conferences or in seeking to implement the documents after them. Every women's group that has looked at the Beijing platform and tried to get it implemented is part of that process, whether they were in Beijing or not. So I want to talk about the impact that I think the conferences had, but I want to say that it's broader than just who went to those particular moments. I've mostly entered all of this as an NGO. In fact, until Beijing, I really didn't work seriously on the government document. I primarily engaged in the NGO forum in Beijing and in Wairo. I tried to do both, and like many of you, I ended up in the rain, sick, in my hotel room some of the time, as well as trying to stay up until 3 a.m. and 5 a.m. with Patricia. But I think that what really was going on in all of these conferences was the engagement that we had with each other as women's organizations, learning from each other across many different lines, and the engagement that we had for the first time for most of us in a formal way with our governments, where we were actually given some legitimacy to ask and demand of them that they pay attention to things we had been saying. And of course, finally, the ways in which we engage with the UN structures, which I think have also been transformed. And incidentally, when we're talking about the world conferences, we should note that all of the women's institutions that we're now trying to bring together into one, except for the Division for the Advancement of Women, all three of the others, UNIFEM, INSTRA, and the OSAGI, the Office of Special Advisor, were results of the world conferences, came out of initiatives from Mexico City in the case of INSTRA, and UNIFEM, and Beijing in the case of the Office of Special Advisor, OSAGI. So the world conferences were not only what happened in those moments, they were also the institutional advances that were made possible by the gathering of women from around the world in these places. And of course, the World Conference in Copenhagen was the place where the Convention on the Elimination of Discrimination Against Women was really launched. It was written in a process that wasn't just the World Conference, but I think without the World Conferences, the CEDAW Convention would never have gained the power that it has gained, both in putting pressure on governments to ratify it, but also in making visible to women what they could do with it. So all of these institutions are also part of our World Conference history. I've written an article, and I'm just going to, on this, which I'm happy to send you to on our website, I just want to summarize some of the main points that I feel the World Conference has actually achieved if you look at it in this broad way. First is that I think they have brought global attention to issues and platforms that were simply not considered part of the public policy debate beforehand, whether we're talking about feminization of poverty or the original women in development movement. We're talking about reproductive and sexual rights, including lesbian rights, which were raised in 1975 since Mexico City. Don't let anybody tell you it's a new agenda. Violence against women, or issues of women's participation, all of these questions were simply not considered major economic, political, and social issues without the pressure of world conferences. The girl child coming in Nairobi was made visible as a major issue by being one of the 12 points of the platform. Secondly, I think that the conferences brought together women with their governments, which enabled women to go back home and be able to demand things of governments, which is to say, once you had been in a place where your government delegation was meeting, it was demystified. There was a sense that you could approach governments even in your own place. So I think it has also expanded our entry to not only the UN, but to engagement with governments. It's certainly expanded entry to the UN. Anyone who ever went there before 1975 can tell you that the difference in having women present, not only women's conferences, but on all the issues, even forced the UN in New York for the Beijing Plus Five review, you may recall, in 2000, to enlarge the women's bathroom. which I think is a pretty good symbol of the recognition that there are more women in those halls today than there used to be. And if you go into the new temporary building, which many of you will, you'll see that the women's bathroom is bigger. So that says something about the very practical ways in which it's acknowledged that women are part of the scene. Finally, I want to say that I think that if you look at the women's movement, and this is what I care about the most, I think the women's movement has been totally transformed by the experience of the World Conferences. First, I think it was the exposure to differences, the debates, the divisions, the conflicts. If you look at Copenhagen, it was a very conflictual conference in which there were enormous debates north-south and also over political perspectives. Particularly, I remember, over the issue of what is a women's issue. and whether we could claim that all issues were women's issues. That debate opened the space for a transformation that was realized in Nairobi in 1985, when I think almost everyone who came from all regions of the world had taken in and began to speak of every issue as a women's issue, and the need for women to speak to every issue. That transformation was taking place in women's movements on the ground, but from Copenhagen to Nairobi, you saw a visual process of what was going on take place. And women entered Nairobi, which in my view is the most important of all the world conferences on women, because it is the conference where I think we actually discovered, felt, and became a global women's movement. I think it's in Nairobi in 1985 that the leadership of the women's movement that had been emerging on the ground throughout the world became visible, that the face and voice of the women's movement began to move to the south, and the understanding that this was global, that this was, in fact, a very diverse and vibrant movement that was happening everywhere began to happen and lay the groundwork for all the work that women were able to do in the 90s in bringing women's caucuses to Rio, Vienna, Cairo, Istanbul, Durban, came out of what happened in Nairobi, where we, for the first time, I think, really saw the potential of working across our differences with respect and making a powerful global movement. That's not to say we've overcome those differences, but I actually think that the space that the world conferences have provided has actually been a critical way in which we've been able to address and move and grow and change as a movement. Oh my goodness, one minute. Okay.
You don't have to listen.
Many women's institutions like GOM, AGIP, ABWRD, World Deaf Claudium came out of Nairobi illustrative of this. Finally, I think Peggy Antrobus has said it very well in her very important book by Zed Press on the global women's movement, where she writes, "It was within this context that women from around the world first encountered each other in a sustained and ever-deepening process that was to nurture and expand this movement in a way that not even its strongest protagonists could have imagined." And I think Peggy is absolutely right that the most important thing that the World Conferences did is that it expanded the space, the resources, the legitimacy of women's issues and women's organizing and feminism nationally, but also it brought women together across regional and global lines to build a movement that could be global. And that is what we saw in Beijing. The others have spoken about Beijing, so I'll skip over my specifics on Beijing. But I think the fact that it was the largest world conference ever held in UN history, both the intergovernmental conference and the NGO forum, and that it also brought the largest forces of backlash, which leads us to where we are today, which was my final point, that the challenge is to carry on this history. The challenge is to carry on this history, not necessarily in world conferences. We don't have world conferences. But the point is, the gathering of women as we are today at the CSW, as we gather to work in relation to all kinds of intergovernmental processes, can happen in the same spirit of these world conferences, where we pressure to bring together our diversity to provide for the strongest, most effective, global, universal women's movement that can pressure governments and the UN for accountability and implementation. This is what we're trying to do specifically through the structures of GEAR, which Alex Garita will speak about tomorrow afternoon on the panel. Thank you.
This speech was brought to you by ISIS International. For more audio reports, please tune into the ISIS website at www.isisinternational.org.